Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Look, here is the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!' Then all of the bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, perhaps today's gospel hits a little bit too close to home. After all, I think that we have all been a part of a group that had to wait and wait and wait, waiting with anxiety, waiting throughout the night, waiting for just a little sign that things are going to go the way we want, waiting for the celebration, waiting. Has anyone had that experience? No? Come on. Yes or no in the chat. Come on. Anyone? Anyone? No? Tough crowd? I'm going to pretend you're all watching it on your smart TVs. That's why you can't get to the chat as quickly. Well, I think with our experience, it's not really a strict copy of what's going on in today's parable. After all, we can remember that these bridesmaids were tasked with being ready to welcome the bridegroom and celebrate with him. That was their role. For us, in life, we have been waiting for a lot of things. We wait for election results. We wait for a vaccine. We wait for the time when we can gather again together in this place of worship. And so too, those who first heard the Gospel of Matthew, they were waiting. They were waiting for Jesus to come again. And things for them were getting a little frustrating. You see, the first generation of Jesus' followers were certain that Jesus would come in their lifetime. And now, when the Gospel of Matthew was written, about 50 years after Jesus walked the earth, well, the believers were still waiting. And it was growing harder. Harder and harder to sustain their readiness. And I know that feeling all too well, and maybe you do too. At the beginning of the pandemic, it was much easier to follow the best practices of distancing and staying home and avoiding gatherings. Now, all of those rules sometimes feel unbearable, no longer life-giving. It feels like the vaccine that may come is so far away, and it just getting a glimpse of normalcy in our lives doesn't seem to be right around the corner. So too, just this last week, no matter your political beliefs, I'm sure that you, like me, were sitting there waiting and watching as they counted the votes. And it got exhausting because we, or at least I wanted to know the outcome. And for you, whether it's the pandemic or election results or finding a life partner or conceiving a child or waiting for test results or hearing about that job that you interviewed for or so many other things, we as people are often impatient. We get tired. And sometimes we just give up. But the thing that is true about God in these parables, and specifically this parable, is that God always shows up. God always shows up even when we think that it won't happen. And oftentimes, God shows up in ways and places and times that we least expect. But nevertheless, what we know to be true about God is that God always comes to us, just like that bridegroom that arrived in this parable. And one thing that I think that this parable teaches us is it teaches us how we can best wait as people of faith. And that's where the whole thing about the lamps finally came into play today. You see, lamps in Jesus' time used olive oil. Olive oil, it was because it was a clean, burning, renewal, and abundant source of fuel. Now, some of the lamps were what we would call open bowl, while others were a partially closed reservoir. But both of them, regardless of which they were, they worked in the same way. They required a relatively shallow reservoir for the oil. Because of the viscosity of the oil and the ability of that wick to move the oil towards the flame, that's why it needed that narrow reservoir. And so, because of this, the lamps only burned a handful of hours. So you see, to maximize the burn time, the wick that was in there, the depth of it was really important. And it's much similar to these sanctuary candles that we have here at the church. You see, if the wick is too short, like this one here, well then, you see, it doesn't really throw off much light at all. It's rather dim. Now, it'll last a while, but it won't really be all that effective. Now, if you have the wick a little bit too long, well then sure, you're going to get lots of light. And you'll probably get a dancing flame, kind of like we have here, and you can start to see the soot kind of going up and out. And the thing is about this candle, it's going to burn out really, really quickly. But if we have that properly sized wick, the one that's not too short, not too tall, then we get a flame doesn't dance very much unless I'm making the wind blow, but it also casts enough light. It becomes useful and changing. So, why does this matter? Why does the flame and the wick matter even a little bit? Well, you see, the parable illuminates the truths of the Advent season. The truth that this work that you and I were called to in our baptisms, that is to strive for justice and peace and understanding and love, this work is not a sprint. It's not a long wick. This does not come easily. You see, this baptismal life of ours is a marathon. It is a marathon that can feel never ending. And so in this lifelong marathon, we need to both prepare with extra oil, but also we need to watch how we're burning our oil. We gotta watch the wick. If we burn our energy too fast, then we, like that long wick, we're gonna use up that oil so quickly. But if we use our energy too slowly, then frankly, as baptized people, we're gonna lose our way. We're gonna get nowhere. Is that kind of making sense, this whole light lamp thing? Again, chat window, anyone? Bueller? No? Okay. Well, friends, you see, the rolling justice that the prophet Amos mentioned in today's first reading, well, that is hard. It's hard. We like to, put it on little memes and stuff like that, and we like to doctor it up and make it seem like it's a kind of a marching tune for us to go out there and work for justice and peace, and it is, but the fact is it's not easy. It often feels dreary and exhausting and endless and overwhelming, which is what the prophet said today. Because, you see, responding to discrimination is not really all that enticing. It doesn't often make friends. Caring for those on the margins is not too flashy. It doesn't look like the Norman Rockwell kind of picture of what Christmas looks like. And compassion fatigue and burnout in this world that we live in with so much need are all too real. But partnering with God to bring about God's vision is not meant to be a quick race. It's not meant to be a long wick. It's meant to be a slow and steady but useful burn. A burning flame that will require us to top off with some stored up oil. Oil that comes from our faithful siblings, those who have gone before us. Oil that comes from the scripture, from the word. Oil that comes to us from the holy meal that we share at Christ's table. The burning flame, the flame to which we are called in the waiting for God's full vision to come about, will require us to set the wick, and thus to set that burn rate just right. And you see, then when we have the flame set just right, then we'll start to get glimpses of God's presence, probably in unexpected places. With that flame, we'll see a little bit of progress against racism. We'll see some progress against sexism and heterosexism and ageism and ableism. We will see a flame that shines and illuminates the truth that will set us free. The flame that will throw some light into the corner. The places where we'll see God in the face of the orphan, the homeless, the prisoner, the immigrant, and those with whom we politically disagree with. And friends, while this journey is long, I'm sure that you want this sermon to be short. It's a beautiful day, after all. So I'm going to leave us here. Waiting, the waiting that is Advent and the waiting that seems to consume our lives, is hard. And the journey is long. There's no way to sugarcoat it. But our God is always present. And we have full assurance time and again throughout the scriptures that God's vision for complete justice, for never-ending peace, and for the abundance of love will come. And while it can feel like it might never arrive, it often comes when we least expect it. And so today, the parable, as we begin this 7-week Advent series, this parable reminds us to keep our lamps burning. Burn those lamps by minding the wick. And when we're getting and feeling like we're using a little too much of that energy, then that's where we take a step back and we use our reserves. We look at our siblings of faith. We look to the scriptures. We look to our holy meal. For it is in our baptism that we were given by God a bottomless oil reserve. In that cross-shaped smear of oil, olive oil, on our heads. You see, that gift in our baptism is just but one gift of our God. One gift of oil from our God who gives oil that never runs dry. And in God, we know that the strength of that oil will keep the flame of God's vision alive. Let us wait, my friends. Wait in the assurance of God's presence and abundant reserves of oil. Amen.